The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Right, you don't fight, do you, with anyone quite like how you fight with your siblings. It can go from 0 to 100 in an instant and back down then as quickly again. So what is it that makes these relationships so tricky and how do we navigate it? Well, psychotherapist Michelle Flynn is with me here in the studio now. Hello, Michelle.
Morning, Claire.
Do you agree with that, that we don't fight with anybody else like we do with our siblings?
Yeah, definitely not. Actually, I said to my six-year-old son this morning, you know, what's the good thing about having a brother and a sister? And he said, well, the good thing is about we have loads of fun together. The worst thing is they're just so annoying. It's like, we know this kind of even from when we're little. Sibling relationships are tricky. And I think what's really interesting is that they don't get much attention, sibling relationships, kind of even in like in psychology or in psychotherapy. It's not something that gets a lot of attention. But actually, like, these relationships are uniquely powerful and they're the blueprint, I think, Claire, for how we experience ourselves and how we experience other relationships later in life.
And there's all sorts of things to consider, your place in the family, you know, whether you're the youngest or the oldest or in the middle. That sort of dictates how you will interact with your siblings, doesn't it? And how you'll interact with other people then when you get outside the family unit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and there definitely is something about the order that you're born. So like, you know, firstborn are generally the ones who take on more responsibility. They're the kind of people that I might see in my practice with perfectionist tendencies. I'm talking about myself here. But, you know, so there is those kind of roles. But then there's also the you know, families organise themselves to sort of survive emotionally. So that might be that somebody takes on the role, for example, of being the caretaker. Somebody else might be the clown. Someone else is the rebel. And these are all roles that kind of happen in order to make the system function. And they're very unconscious. And like these roles can work when we're little and they can get us really far. But often what happens, and this is what I see in my practice, is then as adults, these roles don't serve you anymore, particularly the roles that force you into position of doing too much, overachieving, being the one to always support the other siblings, show up for parents, you know, do the really hard stuff.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to conflict in a family then, is it just anecdotal or is it based in fact that the siblings who are born closest together, so if you have, you know, 1, 2, 3, that 1 and 2 will argue more than 1 and 3 will argue?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that's probably anecdotal. Again, you see, like what's really interesting is that, you know, we might be raised in the same house as such, but we're not raised in the same family because by the time another sibling comes along, the situation in the family system is going to have changed. There might be more financial pressure. There might be one parent is working more now. There might be grief in the family system. So it really depends on what is happening in the family system. So, you know, when I meet with people in my therapy room, they'll often have a very clear narrative around their family situation and what it was like growing up. And that might sound completely different to their siblings' narrative. Mm-hmm. So, for example, one child might experience the parent as being loving, attentive, available, all of those things, home from school maybe when they got in, all of that. And then, for example, something happens in the family system. There's a divorce. There's a grandparent that passes away. And then suddenly that parent is less attentive, maybe more anxious, doesn't maybe have the emotional resources. And then the system has to adapt again. So, you know, the narratives or how we experience our childhoods are often very different. And I think that that depends less on where you come in the family and more about what's happening in the family system.
Okay, well, let's come back then to the siblings who are rivals or who fight.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that as a parent when you see it, say, in young children? Do you get involved? Do you let them fight it out? How do you treat it?
Yeah, I mean, again, and I think it's age dependent, right? This can look different for somebody who has teenage kids to small kids. I'm a big advocate, Claire. I have 3 small kids of my own. I had, you know, 3 under 3, so they're really close together and the fights are really intense. But I think it's really important for them to have an experience of learning how to navigate this themselves. Because if you remember, like, this is your first experience of how you navigate friendships, how you navigate rivalry, belonging, fairness, what loyalty means, you know, all of these things you're learning in those early relationship. So obviously being there to support is important from a parent's point of view, but I think as much as you can, allowing the kids to navigate that for themselves is really important. And this is also done by modelling, right? So like, how are you modelling this with your partner? How are you navigating relationships or with your own siblings? Like, what do your kids see you doing with your own family? Do you know? And that's how kids learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let them fight it out then, really, is what you're saying.
Like, I suppose within reason, you know, we're not going to let them kill each other. But I do think that it's really important for them to learn the tools about how to resolve these issues. Mm-hmm. Because this is how they're going to be able to do this again when they're older. Like, I think of it as like these early relationships that we have, you know, when the brain is malleable, when the brain is learning and developing. This is what shapes how we feel about ourselves and how we feel about relationships later on in life. Do you know? Because I can even see it now at home. Like, one of my sons is the clown and he makes jokes and he gets the feedback from the other two. Oh, he's so funny, you know? And that's where we start to internalize a kind of image of who we are, is from the feedback that we get from our siblings and from those early relationships. So giving them the tools, modelling the tools, I think is the best approach.
Some questions coming in. Let's go to this one. My older teenage son despises his younger teenage brother. They absolutely kill each other. It's so difficult. They lost their dad suddenly recently enough and it's really hard to solo parent. Have you any ideas how to manage? So there's a lot going on in that family, isn't there?
Oh my gosh, Claire. Yeah, that really is heartbreaking. And I suppose the first thing I would say is to normalize it. Do you know, they've been through a trauma. They're in crisis at the moment. Like, this is a family in survival mode. So it makes sense. I mean, we take out our big emotions on the people that we feel closest to. So it's normal that there's going to be conflict and upheaval in this family at the moment. I mean, I think for your listener, I think something that's really important is like, how is she minding herself in this? How is she resourcing herself to be able then to show up for those two boys? And again, I think it is about, you know, trusting that they will be able to navigate this loss and this grief and being able to tolerate some of those difficult emotions rather than trying to fix it for them. Because mm-hmm. I think as parents, we often jump in and try and fix the problem or take away the pain. But actually, sometimes just allowing the process to unfold, like within reason, I think is really important.
Okay, another one. The teenage cousins kill each other when they get together. And this is the critical bit. But I can't control my siblings' children, can I?
Oh, that is really, really.
No, you can't, I would say.
No, you can't. You definitely can't. And you know what I think is brilliant about this is I wonder what's happening for that listener, Claire, that's been triggered from her own experience of growing up as well with that sibling. Do you know, I wonder if some of this conflict that she's witnessing is reminding her of the conflict that she had mm-hmm. with that. Is it her sibling, is it?
Yes, her sibling. Her sibling's children yeah. now and her children are yeah. arguing.
Yeah, so this might be really early stuff that's happening. Like, it's actually her 8-year-old self is meeting her sister's 8-year-old self in this. So that's what I'd get curious about for that listener.
And you know the way you mentioned the roles that we are set for us really early on through these relationships. Do we ever break out of those roles or do we revert back to them when we meet up with our siblings?
Yeah, so I think it's inevitable that when we're triggered or activated, we're going to revert back to those roles, right? So the key is having awareness about it, because when we have awareness about those old emotional patterns or loops that we find ourselves in, then we can stop them and then we can intercept them. Mm-hmm. And we can make a choice then to show up differently in that relationship. And I nearly say it like, oh yeah, there's 10-year-old Michelle again showing up here. So I need to maybe let her know everything is okay. You've more agency now. You don't need to be the one to hold it all together. So you can definitely break those patterns, but it's about awareness and it's about boundaries and it's about really honest conversations, I think, with your siblings.
Michelle, thank you so much.
You're
as always.
Welcome,
that is
Claire.
Michelle
no
Flynn,
problem.
Psychotherapist, who will be back with us in a couple of weeks.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk. With Aviva Insurance.